that if a man of God lived for 1,000 years and preached the word of God every day, that it is possible that he will preach every day and not preach the same sermon. But there are those times when God says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Last night, I brought a word to the saints that were here. We've been having special meetings. It was properly announced that the last 7 days of our 21-day fast, we will gather here at 6:30 every day. And so we have. Thank God for those that have been able to come and participate. Anyhow, yesterday, I shared a word with us from the book of 1 Samuel. And when I got home, the Lord said to me, "I want you to go back to that message." I said, "Lord, I already preached it. Back to back. But I will do what you said." And this morning, Mama read from the Word of God, led us reading a segment, a good portion of what the message was yesterday was read out. Affirming that this is the right word. So if you were here yesterday and you heard it, I say to you, hear it again. And if you did not hear it yesterday, hear it now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The book of 1 Samuel starts out. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, double tower of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. You know, the interesting thing about this passage is that when the Word of God uses a certain man, it doesn't tell you what the name of that certain man is. But this is one of those interesting times when God says, "A certain man," and proceeds on and tells you the name of the man. That tells us something, that at the very beginning of this man's life, there's something that's going to be happening that's going to relegate him to the place of a certain man, but that his name was going to be heard. His name, the Bible says, was Elkanah. What is Elkanah? Elkanah means simply that he is a man who believes that God has obtained. God has obtained. God has received. Interesting. And the Bible goes on and begins to name his pedigree, his roots. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham. Wow. Jeroham. He's the son of somebody. Someone say, "I'm the son of somebody." He's the son of one called Jeroham. And Jeroham simply means that that name means that there's compassion, compassionate one. But the great but is that this man, Elkanah, is married to a woman. And this woman has no children. He's the son of Jehoram. He's the son of Elihu. He's the son of Tohu. He's the son of Zoph, an Ephrahite. He's a son, the son, the son, the son. Down his family line, everybody had a son. And it came to his turn, and he's married to a woman called Hannah, and her name means grace. Things should be good, but Hannah is barren. He has no children. He cannot now say, I have a son. He's stuck. I don't know how it happened after years of being childless. He marries another woman called Peninnah. Peninnah means jewel. Precious jewel. And here comes Peninnah. Johnny just come, and Peninnah starts shooting out the children. Now you know it. Elkanah is saying, it is not my fault. I wasn't shooting no blanks. Hallelujah, praise God. And Peninnah kept on having children. And Hannah is barren. Why is she barren? The Bible says, because the Lord shut up her womb. This wasn't the devil. It's not everything that the devil does. Sometimes it is all God. Sometimes things happen in our lives that don't sound good, that don't look good, that are embarrassing, and it was not the devil. The devil does not have the power when you are a child of God who has connected with God and you have said yes to the will of God and you continue in faith with God. The devil does not have the power to rule and reign in your life. God is involved. I may not know why God is involved in this problem, but one thing I do know is this, that at the end of it, I am going to shout, I am going to sing, I am going to celebrate, and I'm going to testify that God is a good God. Somebody shout hallelujah. The faithfulness of God in the midst of your crisis. When your heart is broken, the woman that you love so deeply is barren. You're doing everything you can, but nothing seems to be working. It says in verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, because I see every year they went to Shiloh. And when they went to Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant was, they bring special offerings to the house of God. And each time they went, they gave, Elkanah would give to his wife Peninnah portions and give to his children, the children he had through her, special portions. But then the word of God says, but unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. That word there, worthy, is a Hebrew word that has a dual meaning. It's interesting that Muhammad Ali used a glass of water in his illustration today. And I'm going to use that same analogy here. For that word there, a worthy, that word there is the word af. And the word af means nose. It means nostril, but it also means anger. So when it says he gave her a worthy portion, you have these two things. You can determine that it's an angry portion, or you can determine that he gave her a nose portion. You say, what does a nose portion mean? It means that he gave her that portion that caused her to win by a nose. That even though the other person is way ahead of you, running, and you are behind, that you're going to catch up and win by a nose. I tell you today, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will catch up and you will overcome in the name of Jesus. The devil is a liar. You will not be behind. You will overcome and win the battle of life and be victorious, because the God who has anointed you has anointed you with the grace to win by the nose. The Bible says it is the violent that take it by force. May the anger that you feel deep within you be the anger that says, devil, move out of my way. I win this battle. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is it that will stand in your way when God has ordained that you are marked for a blessing? Says in verse 6, and her adversary, meaning Peninnah, also provoked her sore. For to make her fret, to make her afraid. You see, when the enemy causes you to fret, causes you to become double-minded, causes you to worry, it is because he wants you to be denied that which God has for you. Please understand. The enemy wants you to worry. The enemy of your soul wants you to fret. The enemy of your soul wants you to be agitated. He wants you to borrow trouble. He gave her a worthy portion. What part are you going to choose? The half-empty cup or the half-full cup? It's the same cup. But you can determine that it is half-empty, or you can determine that it is half-full. The position you take determines the vision that you see. And the vision that you see determines the place that you are and the place you are going. What do you see? Watch this statement. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, af. Winning by the nose or anger. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her. So, Peninnah is doing something that somebody else is doing. Is somebody listening? It cannot be also if somebody else is not doing it. But you must determine who it is that you are going to agree with. Whether you're going to agree with God or agree with your circumstance. Whose report are you going to believe? To whom is the arm of the Lord going to be revealed? But you know, when it is God that has shut up your womb, what fighting chance do you have? It is good that sometimes we don't know. Because I'm certain of it, that she did not know that the Lord shut up her womb. She just thought she had an issue, a problem. God, help me not to know certain things. What I don't need to know, don't let me know it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to ever find out that God is against me. Even for a second. Because a second is too long. But it was. That if it is also, Peninnah also, and her adversary also provoked her, saw that that also is about the God who shut her womb. God is for me. God is not against me. Hallelujah. And the proof is going to be shown shortly. Praise the Lord. You know, I said yesterday, I found out as I've looked through the Word of God that there was a woman called Sarah and she was barren. There was Manoah's wife and she was barren. There is Hannah and she was barren. There is Elizabeth and she was barren. But what is common to all of them and their barrenness is that Sarah came up with an Isaac. Manoah's wife came up with a Samson. Hannah came up, we'll find out shortly, with a Samuel. Elizabeth came up with a John the Baptist. Every one of them came up and produced a special child. So shall you produce in the name of Jesus something special, something unique, something extraordinary to the glory of God. Denial is not God's way for you. Your delay is not denial. God denies not one person. Whatever it is they ask of him, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. In our grown up, I don't feel it that much when I knock. But I watched my youngest grandson the other day knocking at the door. And he was knocking hard and not acting like he's feeling it. But I was feeling it for him. And I'm thinking, oh my God, why are you punishing yourself like that? Knocking at the door. Please stop that. Then it dawned on me, when you knock, it hurts. But if you want the door to be open, when you don't have the key, you better be knocking. I don't know if you heard what I said. Take the pen, knock. Take the harassment, knock. Take the challenge, knock. Dump your pride, knock. Knocking is good because it means you have a chance to have the door open if there's somebody on the other side that has the power to open it, somebody on the other side that loves you, somebody on the other side that has the capacity to open. Knock. Just standing there in front of the door without knocking will not get the door open. Just knock. Just ask. Just seek. Hallelujah. 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 And the word of God says, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept. Hannah wept and did not eat. She went into a fast. For years, they've been going to Shiloh. And this particular time, she decides, you know what? I'm tired of this mess. I'm going on a fast. And I'm going to go into that place, that Shiloh place. I'm going to ask God for what I want. I'm going to ask God for what I want. And how did she make this decision? All these years she's been going. But this time, she went with a plan. So what was the plan? She had investigated and checked the environment carefully. She noticed that Eli was a big fat man, old, and there was no successor. Not because he did not have sons, he had Hophni and Phinehas. But these guys are crooked. All they are just money grubbers. All they want is stuff from the people, and they do not care about the people. They don't care about God. They don't care about nothing. All they want is what will satisfy me, myself, and I. And this woman came in there and says, Eli might die soon. And these guys, dirty scoundrels, they cannot handle this. God, you need somebody. So God, here am I. I am fasting. I am praying. And she's there. The husband said, woman, eat something. Eat something. Says, I'm not eating. Am I not more to you than 10 sons? I know it, but I need not you, just you. I love you, but I am not going to die barren. I am not going to die childless. You are my husband. I cannot account you as my son. Because if I say you are my son, and I relate with you, that's incest. And God forbids incest. So we are not going there. I need my own son. Is somebody listening? So she cries out to God. And she says to God, God, I know you need a son. I know you need a priest. I want to be the one that carries that priest, that prophet that you need. You need to identify what God needs when you have a need. One of the quickest way to get your answer is to identify what God has a need of. And when you satisfy God's need, your need will be satisfied. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who it is that's asking you for water, you would have asked me so I can give you. God will never ask you or introduce you to an experience where he's asking you for something if he doesn't have something greater on his mind for you. He always does. And when you reduce your faith connection with God, you reduce God's ability to be a blessing to you. What are you going to lose? What shall a man profit from if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I tell you what, nothing that you give to God is wasted. The woman cries out to God and she says, I need a son. Give me a son. And while she's doing that, making that vow in verse 11, for the word of God says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, God. Remember. And when you remember me, you will see, God, what only you can see. What will God see? God will see that he is the one who shut up her womb. Why did God shut up her womb? We don't know. We don't know. But the chances are, if she had that child when she got married, that Samuel will not be that prophet. So God knows what he knows. Let me tell you something, child of God. Hannah was the first wife. And here comes Peninnah and overtakes her. And she is behind. And she wonders, what is wrong with me? How is it that I got started and yet this woman comes and overtakes me? How is it that I am the wife? Sarah and Hagar, my slave, comes and has a child before me. How is this possible? How can I be overtaken by this? Oh, Isaac is still the heir of promise. He is still going to get all of the treasures, and Ishmael is going to just get a gift just to go away. But everything belongs to the one that it belongs to. And I prophesy over you this day in the name of Jesus Christ that whatever belongs to you will arrive at the destination point, that place where you are. You shall not be left behind. You shall receive everything God has ordained for you to have, and you shall be head and not tail, above only and never beneath. This is the promise of God. Receive it and celebrate in Jesus' mighty name. The devil's a liar. She says, look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child. If you will do that, Lord, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. He's going to be a Nazarite. He is going to be totally committed to you. No razor is going to come upon his hair. He belongs to you. All yours. You mean, Hannah, you want a child, and the very first child you're going to get, you're going to just hand him over to God and does it? Yeah. Why? Because God, you need a prophet. You need somebody that's going to take over from Eli. You need somebody that's going to take over from Eli. Hophni and Phinehas are not going to do it. The one that you're going to give birth to through me, he is going to represent you, and he's going to represent you well. So God, give me a child so you can have your child. Give me a child so you can have your prophet. I don't know why I remember certain things, but I remember this story that I read many years ago. There was this kid. It was Christmas time, and he wanted a bike. And he was praying so much for this bike. God bless me with a bike. And Christmas was coming, and the bike is not showing up. So this child saw, a nativity scene, and he saw Mary there, and he grabbed Mary, hid Mary in the closet, saying, God, if you want to see your child, Jesus, if you want to see your mother, produce the bike. God, if you want a prophet, give me the baby. I get the baby, you get your prophet. And there's Eli watching her. Everybody's gone, and this woman is talking to God from the depths of her being. There's no sound coming out of her mouth, but her heart is crying out to God. And Eli looks at her and says, another drunk woman. She's drunk. They come to this celebration every year, and they eat and they drink. And this is another one, drunk. Woman, why do you have to come here drunk? Totally misunderstood. Totally misunderstood. She was not drunk. She was just crying out from the depths of her being to the God that she believed in. God, give me a child so you can have the prophet that you need. And so she was. Eli thought that she had been drunken. Verse 14 says, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? How long? Put away thy wine from thee. And Anna answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. I want you to watch this next verse. It's a crucial verse. The Bible says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. He did not know what the petition was, but he said to her, go in peace. The God of Israel grant you the petition that you've asked of him. Who is going to grant it? The God of Israel. Her response? And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. She didn't even say, let thine handmaid find grace in the sight of God. Because this is crucial. The manifestation of answers in your life is not just dependent on what God is going to do. It's dependent on the vessel that God uses, that is placed in his house to speak the prophetic word into your life. The woman understood that. that if he does, if she doesn't find grace in the sight of Eli, all her prayers were just mumblings. Please hear. Please hear this. And I'm going to drive that point home deeper in your spirit in just a moment. The worst thing you can do is to garner the anger of a man or woman of God. You don't want to go there. You really don't want to go there. David understood that he cried out when found out that a piece of the garment of Saul had been cut off. He says, you do the anointed of God no harm. He repented. Saul is trying to kill him. The man is demon-possessed. But at a point in his life, he was anointed of God. I fear for a lot of people, especially in my country, that have the audacity to open their mouths and speak evil words at men or women of God for whatever reason, legitimate or illegitimate. You don't want to go there because you harness and harvest curses on your life. In the West, we think, hey, we are all equals. I can say anything I want to say and do whatever it is I want to do and act any crazy way I want to act. Who's going to do anything about it? God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. This woman said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. Is it talking about God? No, it's talking about Eli. Let me find grace in your sight. Based on the words that you have spoken, go in peace. Let the God of Israel respond to your petition and do as you have asked him. I don't know what you have asked God for, but I'm saying to you, woman, go in peace. You have your answer. Go. Hallelujah. But what did the devil want to do first? Present her in an ugly way before the man of God. And she apologized and said, man of God, you got it wrong. I'm not drunk. Thank you. Thank you. And she left. And what does she do? Verse 18. Look. Look at the act of faith. And she said, let an handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did what? Eat. This is the first time she ate. And her countenance was no more what? Sad. She is a woman of faith. I have no reason to be sad anymore. I am pregnant. Is she pregnant? No. I'm going to have my child. Does she have the child yet? No. But does she believe it? Absolutely. Absolutely. When you hear the word of God, you take it as an absolute statement. Listen. If a man of God tells you this is this and that is that, why do you dare ask, is that from God or from you? What difference does it make? Makes no difference. If he said, this is what you're going to get, you say, hallelujah, that's what I get. And you don't doubt it. You receive it by faith. Because if he's a man or woman of God, God will make certain that his words do not fall to the ground. Whatever God said, that's what you're going to receive. Even if there is a challenge and the thing does not happen right away, it does not mean it's not going to happen. There are words I've received from the Lord that took 10 years to manifest itself. Because in God, now is now. And 10 years from now is now. 100 years from now is now. And if you are connected to the now experience, you can hasten that word that was meant to happen 10 years from now and bring it closer, because you are already eating and your countenance has changed. You receive the word. Is somebody listening? You just simply receive the word. This is the word. I receive it. I walk by it. The Lord said to us, and I declared in this house, no poverty here. Amen. I said, no poverty in this house. We shall meet other people's needs, but we shall not be poor in this house. Supernatural grace is upon our lives. Poor people cannot give. But people of substance can give. But I found out that poor people who do not think poor give like people of substance. And then they become what they believe. Amen? That's what I see in this house. I shared with you last weekend, I believe it was last Sunday, about a vision I had raising an offering in this house. And 8 people came and took an envelope for 5,019. And I'm looking at these people and say, these people don't have this money. How can they do this? How possible is this? But they came and they took it. I said, ask him for 2019. And one person said, no, mine is 3,019, I'm saying. Huh? I know you don't have that money. How are you going to do that? But they did. And so quickly, it happened. I said, Lord, what are you trying to say in all of this? And the only thing I hear God saying consistently is this: I see in my people what I see and what I know. I am dealing with them based on what I know concerning them. And I came here last Sunday, early, and as I was praying, the Lord said to me, the envelopes for the 5,019 are right there. I said, huh? So I came, I picked up the envelopes, and I counted them. There were 7. I said, Lord, you said there were 8. He said, you took the other envelope off and you put it inside the devotional. So I took that envelope out of the devotional. It was 8. Just like the Lord said, he said, this one, you give only to those people. In the natural, what I was seeing did not jive with what God was seeing. Because even in my dream, I was doubting that this was possible. But God was saying, it is there. It is there. And the proof of it to me was that when I asked for it, the first person that jumped up, exactly the way they jumped up in the dream and moved, just like that, was what happened. I said, wow, this confirms it. When you believe God, you don't look at your natural circumstance. You look at what God has already declared. Amen? And you move. You move on it. You do what God is saying for you to do. And as you move in that, God's glory abounds towards you. Amen? And the Bible says in verse 19, and they rose up early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Somebody shout, Lord, remember me. Say it again, Lord, remember me. Say it again, Lord, remember me. 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 May God remember you and remove you from your difficult place in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. No impossibilities when God remembers you. There are no impossibilities when God marks you and says, I remember you. I remember your womb is shut and now I open it. What Hannah that was loved by the husband could not experience when God remembered her. The same act that produced nothing now got her pregnant. It wasn't because she was popping some pills. It wasn't because there was a great obstetrician or gynecologist. It wasn't because of some vitamins or some concoction that they put together. It was because God remembered her. It is not by might. It is not by power. It is by the Spirit of God. The word of God. God had already spoken through Eli. May God respond to your petition and answer you. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that as you cry out to God, that God, the God of heaven, will answer you. He will smile over you. He will do for you what you could not have accomplished. Henceforth, you will experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. Somebody shout, hallelujah! Change is possible when the word of God is declared. He causes the barren to keep house. Oh, glory to God. He said, Hannah conceived and she bore a son and he called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The name Samuel means his name is El. His name is God. The one who gave me this child, he is God. God has changed my situation. Hallelujah. So she had the child, and Elkanah the next year, and Peninnah, and their children, they went to Shiloh. But Bible says she stayed back. It looked like she was not doing what she said. She said, if you give me a child, I'll give a child to you. But this is the deal. And please hear this. This is a very important spiritual principle. You don't give to God a gift that becomes a problem. You know, sometimes people bring their junk and they give it. They give a car that has transmission problems. It is smoking, and you can smoke your fish with the smoke that comes out of the exhaust. Say, God bless you. Really? You're giving God a problem. The woman says, hey, I'm not going to go and give a brand new baby to God. Who's going to take care of the child? I'm going to feed this child until it is weaned. The way you present what you present to God is very important. I said to the saints yesterday, you know, you don't come to God and you know, just, you know, you have $100 or $50 or $20 or better yet, you have a check for $1 million. And you just crumple it like this. If somebody comes and gives you $1 million, it's good money. $1 million, any way it comes, is $1 million. Will you agree? Yeah. But if they squeeze it, crumple it, and come and give it to you, what are they saying to you? What exactly did they just say to you? I don't want to give this to you. But, look at you, you're useless. You're not even worth this. And that's how sometimes we give gifts to God or to the men and women of God. Any child of God, that you don't just give them something and just act crazy. Present it properly. Present it properly. Third time, present it what? Properly. So she said, I'm going to win the child and then I'll bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. So she did. She stayed away for a few years. Because she's not going to bring a problem to Eli. The child was a young man when he brought him and presented him. And the Bible says something that's remarkable. It says when they did so, because they came from a wealthy home, they were presenting him with bullocks, animals being sacrificed for that particular purpose. They did it big time. When Jesus was presented in the temple, two doves. This is a wealthy family. Somebody listening? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so they did. And the Bible says, listen to this. In verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, And by him, actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that the barren had borne seven. What? And she that had many children is waxed feeble. What? Who is talking? Hannah. She's even prophesying already. The barren had borne seven. What is seven? Seven is a number of completion, but really, beyond completion, completion because God created. But the real true meaning of seven is holiness and rest. For on the seventh day, God rested. And God sanctified that seventh day and made it holy. I declare in the name of Jesus that the God of heaven will cause you to come to a place of supernatural rest. And that you be sanctified holy unto him forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 6, it says, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Verse 7 says, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. What is she talking about? She's saying God has begun the process of switching. He's switching me from the place of poverty to the place of prosperity. He's switching me from the place of barrenness to the place of supernatural fruitfulness and fertility. He's switching me from the place of being low, and he's elevating me in this year that God has marked out as a year of supernatural fruitfulness and birthing, the year of elevation, the year of enlargement, the year of advancement. Let everything God has declared be manifested in all of our lives. Somebody shout, hallelujah. He raised up the poor out of the dust. She is quoting Psalm 113. Wait a minute. She's quoting Psalm 113. Yeah. But the person who declared Psalm 113 is not born yet. What is happening here? She is prophesying. You see, when you fast and you take, by the grace of God, the commitment of engagement, God begins to do something else in your life. She's prophesying. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. Wait a minute. What princes? There are no princes yet. No kings yet. He called those things which be not. So they were. To make them inherit the throne of glory. The throne of glory? She's prophesying about David. God is going to say, you're always going to have a son on the throne. The sons mess up And God is going to say, I'm going to make myself the son of David, because there is a throne of glory that needed to be inherited. And the woman whose womb was shut by God is now being compensated. May God compensate you for every pain, for every struggle. God, the great compensator, will compensate you for everything, every cry, every tear, every pain, every sorrow that has come into your life. May grace abound in the mighty name of Jesus. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Hear what God says in verse 9. Through this woman, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. I don't care how powerful the enemy is, he shall not prevail. I say he shall not prevail. I say he shall not prevail. No circumstance shall prevail in your life, in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king. What king? The one that is coming. And exalt the horn of his anointed. Huh? Who is going to anoint this king? Samuel. Not Hophni, not Phinehas, Samuel. He is going to anoint with an exalted horn. Oh my God. But guess what? Saul was the first king. But was he the king that God chose? No. Because you are first does not mean anything. What means something is that God chose. You think now that she had the son, handed over the son to Samuel, she will now start having children. She start shooting them out just like Penina. But no such thing. She goes on for years without a child. Ask me what changed. Why is it that she now has Samuel and then her womb is shut again? And she has no children. Because listen. Every change in your life comes about because of a prophetic statement that is released out of the mouth of your prophet. You can believe it, or you can choose not to believe it. But I hope you do believe it, because I'm going to read it to you in just a moment. Nothing changed in Hannah's life. She's given to God, but nothing changes. She's back to square one. She has bonded with this child and gone through the excruciating pain of releasing this child that she has bonded with. It's not like she just had the baby and gave it right away. No, she bonded with the child. She breastfed this child, weaned the child. And the Bible says, watch this. Watch this. Verse 11, and then I'll begin to finalize what I need to say for now. It's not because I've finished, but I have to stop. It says, and Elkanah went to Ramah, that's their town, to his house. He didn't say, and Elkanah and Hannah. He says, Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. What happened? Hannah stayed to make sure the child settles down properly, goes back home to the husband, for we know she went back because the Bible says every year she came back, every time she came back with new clothes for Samuel. Dressed him up real good. Every year she would come back and dress. But what is the point? The point is this. The point is this. That while she gave the gift, she was committed to that gift to make sure that that gift, that offering, was taken care of. If someday, watch this, because this is going to happen. If someday God blesses you, and he has blessed you, and you come and you bring a key of a bus or a van, and you hand it and say, Pastor, this is for the ministry to move people from point A to point B and to serve the needs of those that do not have a way to come to church, and you hand those keys over. You know how you take care of it? You make sure that you don't just give the keys. You make sure that you do whatever it is that is necessary to maintain that vehicle. Huh? You come say, well, this is for maintenance. This is $1,000 for maintenance. Or this is $5,000 to maintain the car, this van, for the year or for the next 6 months or whatever. Ah, that's you taking care of the Samuel. Are you with me?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Take care of what you give so that it does not become a burden. Amen? Believe God to provide for you to do what you need to do so that what needs to be accomplished is accomplished efficiently to the glory of God. And now, let me finalize by bringing you to that change. In verse 20,19 says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed, and Eli blessed, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give the seed of this woman. Listen, what did he say? Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from what? From what? From what? Year to year. So we know that's at least 2 years. Minimum. Yeah? And she had no child. What changed? The man of God, Eli, blessed her, blessed the husband, and blessed her, and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman, for the loan which she is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah. Somebody say, Lord, visit me. Say it again, Lord, visit me. One more time, Lord, visit me. When the Lord visited Hannah, the Bible says, so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. And the child Samuel did what? Grew before the Lord. Somebody said the child Samuel grew before the Lord. This is going to be our prayer point in just a moment. In verse 49, or 26 rather, it says, and the child Samuel grew on. Wow. Not only did he grow, now he grew on. That's continued increase. And was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. Rise with me. It is not enough for us to birth. We must come to the realm of growth. Continued growth. Supernatural growth. And Samuel grew on. He continued to grow. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that in every area of our lives, that we as a people will continue to grow. You will continue to grow in your health. Continue to grow in your finances. Continue to grow in your family. Continue to grow in your business. Continue to grow in your education. Continue to grow in every area of your life. In the name of Jesus, I declare supernatural growth. And all of God's people together in agreement shouted, yes.
Hallelujah. Are you as blessed? This message was powerful back then and is powerful today. God moves in mysterious ways. It was then and it's now. And tonight I want to declare as well, continue the declaration. It's a promise of God now because the prophet spoke. And when the prophet speaks, you can rest assured that you're going to get what he says. So therefore, let's take the promise from above. All good things come from above. All perfect and good things come from above. So this is a good thing. This is more than good. It's perfect. Because God wants the perfect things for you and me so that we can do the things that he wants us to do. Much of it can be for yourself. Because God wants to bless you, good clothes, good food, good home, good place to stay, just good environment. God wants all that for you. He wants the best. When you get to heaven, what are you going to get? A heavenly place. The streets are made of gold. You're going to have the best of everything. And he wants that for you right now. And we can declare, but a lot of these things that God wants us to have as well is so that his kingdom is built here on earth. And that's a kingdom of God in people's hearts. Because we need to reach out to people. We need finances to reach out to people all the time. The more that we have, the more we can do. The more people we can feed, the more people we can help, the more people can hear the word of the Lord. The more people can just receive and do what we do. They can have a better life as well. Everything comes from God. So therefore, take the promise that the pastor spoke about. The promise, he gave it to Hannah. And he can give it to you. We are not barren in any area of our lives. We are healthy. We are wealthy. And we are just children of God prospering in everything that we do. Thank you, Father God, for your love. Thank you, Father God, that you promise these things to us. And we declare it right now for us to walk in your ways, that we can do the things that you ask us to do continually, that we do not need to hold back. When people need something, we have it for them. That when there's a necessity in the house for this place to grow or to be fixed or to just receive people better, in whichever way you declare, Father God, that the finances will be there without any question. That when you say give, that people will have a heart to give, because they will have to give. There is promise of no poverty. So therefore, even if I gave everything that I would have, I would still be rich. Because you are in my life. You are in our lives. And you will give back, bring back the wealth that we gave out. Father God, you are so wealthy because your riches in heaven, and we declare it on earth, are great. Everything about you is so great. It is so big. And you want us to be big like you are. Thank you, Father God, for what you have done, what you will do, and we can do as well. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, tonight's time to give of our offering if you haven't given yet. And don't hold back, because when God gives, he gives big. If you give big, he promises that you're not going to be poor. So don't be afraid of it. Is there anybody on YouTube or anywhere? I just declare it for you guys too. Whatever you heard tonight, these are promises. And it's not just for in-house. It's for anybody who hears. If it's 10 years down the road, people will hear this. It's still a promise of God. So you need to receive it. Receive the blessings that come from what Pastor Zeno preached. Just receive it. In Jesus' name, take from up on high, because that's where it comes from. All in the precious name of Jesus. Stay blessed wherever you are. God loves you. And declare the word of God, because the word of God needs to be pushed out. Pushed out there to the people that need it. There's many people that need healings. Pray for them. We pray for in-house as well, that God will heal each and every person in this place that needs anything, a touch from God, because that's all you need, is a touch from God. Thank you, Father God, for healing us and for giving us everything that we need. Your Holy Spirit hovered over the world before it was created, hovered over the waters. And out of water came out life. And this life, the water is still here. And I believe the Holy Spirit is still hovering over the water. So declare, because the Holy Spirit is always with you. 80% of your body is water. So the Holy Spirit is still hovering over the water. He's still hovering over you. Amen. Stay blessed. In the name of Jesus.